The sermon for this morning is entitled Keep It Simple, and I want to remind all of you that as we do come forward for the Lord's Supper, after the message, I'll be at the table, we'll set the bread and cup aside and have a prayer, and then we'll come forward. The bread is there in the baskets, it'll be offered by the officers, and there's also the little communion kit if you choose to use one of these. They're here in the basket, and they're also out by the giving stations as well. And so that's there for you. Our reading this morning is from the first letter of John in chapter 2. I'm reading the first six verses and then jumping to verse 15 to 17. And this is from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I invite you now to hear these beautiful words of Scripture. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commandments, is a liar. And in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk in the same way as he walked. That's verse 6. Let's listen to that verse again. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk in the same way as he walked. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride in riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire are passing away. But those who do the will of God abide forever. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. Oh God, as we continue to worship you during this season of Lent, and we seek to follow you in this 40-day journey to the cross and the celebration of your resurrection, we have remembered during the first Sunday of Lent and Ash Wednesday that it is important to focus on prayer and the reading of Scripture during this season, to even give up something, perhaps to abstain from something, perhaps fasting, but more importantly, to give up hatred and conflict and divisiveness and revenge, and to live lives in the manner of Jesus Christ. Help us to do just that, to walk as you walk. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. While the sermon today is entitled Keep It Simple, the truth of the matter is the Bible is not entirely simple. We live in a complex world, and living in this world isn't easy in these days. But I expect you knew that already, didn't you? We live in a world that often wants quick answers. A world that wants its truth simple and direct and packaged for easy opening. The world often squeezes truth into digestible sound bites. And when that happens, sometimes what happens is it distorts the deep, subtle, complex realities of life that are not always easy and simple to understand. And God is not simple. The human condition is not simple. God indeed reminds us in Isaiah 55:8, it's one of my favorite passages, for my thoughts, says God, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord, for as The heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's like God is saying, this is where you have to work at it to understand what it means to live in this world and to walk as Jesus walked. My thoughts aren't anything like yours. I think differently about everything that happens in your life, and my way out of your troubles is different than you would expect. Well, if God's thoughts are not our thoughts, then hearing the Bible will always be somewhat demanding. Indeed, reading the Bible, I find, is demanding. Preaching is demanding. Discerning the wisdom of God takes time and it takes hard work. It invites hard conversation between people, and it needs sincere prayer. And this is the work we are offered to do, and I believe it's the purpose of the season of Lent, to go through these 40 days and to think hard and think deep as we think about the glory of the cross and Easter and what that means for us as a world and for us as individuals, to intentionally strive to walk in the manner of Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you this morning to just simply take your Bible out of the pew and close your eyes and open it wherever the Bible falls and put your finger on a verse and that'll be your answer for today. But it doesn't work like that, does it? There's no voila. And I've got to tell you, I've been studying this old book, the Bible, for a long time, and I still find that I have yet to wring all the treasure out of it. It still surprises me every time I pick it up. But here's one thing I can share with you as we prepare to meet Jesus at this table this morning. I have discovered that the Bible encourages us to have lives that kind of mirror the simplicity of Christ. And I want to spend some time this morning talking about what that means to live and walk as Christ walked and to mirror that simplicity. Clearly, it does not mean to be naive in living in this world. It does not mean to be a simpleton. Rather, I think it means living your life in a manner of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians. Note, one letter was not enough. He wrote two letters to those young Christians in Corinth. And in chapter 11, in this second letter, he still writes that he was afraid for them, because they were young and they were immature in their faith and they were struggling to understand what Jesus taught. And he wrote to them saying in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he wrote, just as the serpent has deceived Eve, they might also have their minds corrupted by the world and turn away from the simpleness that is in Christ. Let me suggest several qualities to you this morning that we might consider as we embrace this simplicity. First, note with me that Jesus was simple. He wasn't overly complicated in the way that he taught, especially in the way that he lived. I'm pretty sure that's not surprising to you either this morning. Tradition has long upheld that he probably never owned a home, that he probably never had a lot of material possessions, and while he may not have been outright poor, scholars believe, and you can read in the Bible, it looks like he lived pretty simply, staying in other people's homes on a number of occasions. We know that the soldiers at the cross, they gambled for his outer robe, that one-piece garment. It was one of the few items of value, perhaps, that he did own. It reminds me when our boys were very little. We lived in Sarasota for about 6 years, and during that time, we enjoyed driving around Sarasota and going to the different restaurants that were there. And our two young sons, Will and Ben, who are now in their mid-20s, they would ask us on those occasions, who are those people that ride those three-wheeled bicycles? They look like big tricycles, Dad. What are they? Who are those people? And I would try to explain that those are our Amish and Mennonite friends who who come from places like Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And they're here practicing to live simple lives, different from the world. Why? They would ask. They were very little. And I would try to answer again, and it was always again, why? And I said, well, again, they try to stay away from their infatuation for worldly things, and they ride bicycles. They don't have a lot of technology, and they just try to live simple lives as Christians. And finally, the wise stopped, and they went back to playing their little gadgets in the backseat of the car. The point is, probably none of us will ever take a vow of poverty. We'll never join some religious order, but perhaps all of us could travel more lightly as we go through these 40 days to Easter. To think about giving up something or live lives a bit simpler. All of us have things. All of us have precious things, perhaps. And you know, when you have precious things, they take time in our lives to take care of them and keep them up. Ah, the simplicity of Jesus Christ. That's the message this morning. Would that our lives embrace something of the beauty of that quality, the simplicity that was in Christ. A second quality, perhaps, would be that Jesus was simple versus divided in his thinking. He wasn't divided in his mind and his heart. You know, to follow the kingdom of God is to will the one thing, to follow Jesus Christ. And it's not a call to be perfect, it's a call really to purity. Jesus was never two people, and that's what it means to try to live a life that is pure, to live single-mindedly. There's something to say about someone whose life is so centered that it is single in attitude and singular in goals after the manner of Christ. The New Testament letter of James, it talks about being double-minded and how the double-minded person was unstable in all his or her ways. The letter of James also talks about the power of the tongue, how little it is and yet how much damage it can do. But Jesus was always living around the center of God's will. And so the question is, what about you? What about me? Can you and I say that we are singular of thought and not divided in our minds and hearts? Let me give you an example. Often, I will run out for a late lunch, and it's usually late in the day at 2 o'clock or so. I need to try to get out earlier to eat lunch. But sometimes when I go out to lunch, especially if it's like in Jason's Deli, I'll notice two people sitting at a nearby table. Have you noticed as well that in many of the restaurants, the tables have come back and they're more tightly packed than ever? There are a lot of tables now in Jason's Deli. But what I will do, I will notice two people sitting nearby and a third person will come over and greet them. And when that happens, sometimes I hear the graciousness of the two people as they reacquaint themselves with the person, the friend, someone they've not seen in a while. And I'm listening to this. I'm not snooping, I'm just listening because the tables are so close. And what I sometimes overhear by accident, not snooping, is what the original two say when the visitor has left. That person's a real jerk. She never, ever knew how to dress. Or something they say. And sometimes I hear that there's a change from the graciousness when they first met the person and then when they walk away and what they say to the other person at table with them. And Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't change. He talked very clearly, very plainly, very directly to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He told them the truth as he saw it. But he was consistent. And so perhaps our prayer in living after the manner of Christ is to pray during this season of Lent, in this journey, that we become whole and we become consistent and not divided. And perhaps we're more careful about what we say of others. Third, note how simple Jesus was in his teaching. He spoke of things that people could understand: a farmer's crops, a woman who had lost a coin, a boy who had run away from home, a man who was hurt and laying along the side of the road, that Jericho road. You know, why is it that Jesus is often more quoted than the great philosophers like Plato or Socrates? Well, it could be because his teaching was very clear. It was clear to all who would listen. It was the application that's often hard to understand and do. And so Jesus, as we can see from what we've said so far, he was simple in his living. He was united in his inner life. He wasn't double-minded. He was also clear in his teachings. And now we come back to where we started. To say that Jesus was simple and clear is to also, it's also necessary to add he was deep. His teachings were profound. Jesus was never childish, he was never foolish, nor was he a simpleton. We dare not call him that. And here's what I think is most important about all this. To hear and study and read the scriptures, it requires all the awe and the wonder that we can muster when we open the book. Because it is deep rather than superficial, and we have to work at it to grow in him. And that's like the sacrament we celebrate this morning. It's like this too. We can take the simplest foods that Jesus reminded us to take, the bread and the wine, and we can eat them around this table. And even a child can understand that this process is about receiving Christ within you, inviting him to live in you. And while we can say that, it's also true that the Lord's Supper is a great mystery. We can never fully understand it, nor can we describe its meaning with justice. Perhaps instead we should simply remember the words of the Shaker hymn. You remember those words. Our choir has used it ever so often as an anthem. 'Tis a gift to be simple. 'Tis a gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be the valley of love and delight. I would propose to you that's what's at this table, a valley of love and a valley of delight. And so I invite you to join me today at such a table. Let's pray. O Lord and our God, as we come to this table, we are mindful of the needs of others. We're mindful of our own needs. And as we come, we remember your words to us. Behold, you said, I stand at the door and knock, and those who open the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. And so as we gather at this table, O Lord, we pray unto you, O gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread that we break and the cup that we bless may be the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. And by your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one. And help us, O God, in this season of Lent, to love as Christ loved, to be singular in mind and purpose. Knowing our own weaknesses, may we still stand with those who stumble. And sharing in Christ's suffering, may we remember all who suffer. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we now come remembering the words that you said at table. In Christ's name, amen. And we remember those words that Jesus said at table. He said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. In the same manner also, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is sealed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of you of it, for as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, in this simple way, you proclaim my death until I come again. These are the gifts of God for God's people. Come.